look at the entire chapter here in just a few moments. And Memorial Day is a day to remember, again, as we said, a day to remember all those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And certainly we take this weekend to do that. And as we do the Lord's work, some things we also need to remember. And I told you last Sunday that I just had a real bad day about a week and a half ago. And that night I was listening to some music that Charles had told me about and on my phone. And this preacher come up, and I'll tell you about that later. Well, how that kind of worked, you know, about a week ago I just had one of those days. Worried about starting the church back. Just hard to describe the weight. And you got to balance a lot of comfort levels, keeping everybody safe, worrying that we'd be the cause that somebody got the virus, you know, just doing the right thing, complying to all the regulations to reopen. And also thinking a lot about the great ministries that were going on here at the church and that were growing, spraying upward flag football. Man, that looked like that was going to be a hit. The ministry to moms, ministering over 20 mothers when it had to kind of shut down. The Feeding Friends ministry, people just being blessed by that. And just goes on and on and on. Our quilting ladies, and we could go on. And how severely all those ministries were affected. You know, just, man, all the work, all the decisions that were made, you know, just the pressure. I told Keisha that day that I don't know if I'm going to make it. She probably thought I was whining, but I guess I was. I said, Keisha, I don't know if I'm even going to make it. I feel like all I want to do is cry. You ever felt that way? Anybody ever had that much pressure on them? That if you thought if you spoke, you'd just start crying. I went up to the nursing home that evening and visited with my mom through the window there. And, you know, she's happy and well, and you know, it seemed like I was just feeling sorry for her. I left there and got my truck. And then my friend Doug Atkins that moved down to North Carolina close to the beach, he called me and told me his prostate cancer had come back. And the place they were watching had doubled in size quickly. And the treatments and things, what he's going to have to go through. And we talked for a while, and I asked him if I could just pray for him over the phone. So I pulled in the Lowe's parking lot there and stopped and tried to pray. And at that just moment, I think I was just overwhelmed by it all. So there I sat, a 65-year-old man in a Lowe's parking lot crying like a baby. People probably thought he's crazy. I remembered quoting to somebody not too long ago, and you better be careful what you say. We look at the next Ecclesiastes verses. It'll talk about the words that we say in print. I quoted this to him, Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I thought, is that now me? Somebody's strength is small? That night I was listening to some music on my phone, and a link to a preacher come up, and I'd heard him preach before, and I went on that link and just read his text. And when he started preaching, he referred to 2 Corinthians 4:1. It had little to do with his sermon, but it spoke to me because I kind of knew what the verse said. So I got my Bible out there and I read it. And maybe this text will speak to you this morning if you're kind of discouraged and beaten down and wonder if you can go on. The author of the text is Paul. And I want you to know that Paul understood something about adversity in ministry. He knew something about adversity in life, not just in ministry, but just life in general. You know, Paul even began this book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 talking about being comforted in his tribulation so that he could comfort others in all their tribulations. I want you to really go back and read that and get the language. Paul was comforted by God so that he could comfort others no matter what they were going through. And that's some of our jobs as a pastor. A lot of our pastor and brethren are here this morning in this service. Paul probably had days he thought he could not go on. I can just imagine Paul floating at night on a board after a shipwreck. Hypothermia about to set in, thinking, I don't know how much longer I can do this. Sitting in a prison with the smells and the dampness and the loneliness and wondering if it's worth it. Maybe during one of his beatings, just think, I cannot take another stripe. He knew something about adversity. He probably cried out at times, a man like us, God help me. So when we look at Paul, we can realize that somebody understands what we're going through. When you read Paul's writings, as he gets closer to the end of life, he's physically and emotionally beaten down. He's growing weaker. But if you read closely, spiritually, he's experiencing renewed strength. So I pray when you read the text, that'll happen to you. And also, when I read this text, I want you to notice the references to the body, what's happening to the earthly body. It's referred to here on one occasion as an earthen vessel. I want you to notice how it's affected, but more importantly, I want you to notice what it contains. 2 Corinthians 4, let's look at this chapter. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. Notice whose servants he is. Not really God's, he says here. I'm the servant of those I minister to. He says, I'm your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's our verse. But we have this treasure, this gospel, this knowledge of Jesus Christ in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the living of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Again he says, we faint not, that through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, would you just bless your word this morning? Would you encourage us all as we are kind of beaten down and I know tired of this going on? God, let us remember that this old tired vessel contains a treasure, the good news of the gospel. God, keep us going. Don't let us give up. Let us keep our eyes upon you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why would such a treasure be in a vessel like this? Why would such a treasure? Why would God do that? Why would he put it in a vessel that's growing weary and growing old? And you know, when this vessel, he put this treasure in, when it's wearing out and had all it can take, how do you go on? I think Paul helps us here. Verse 1, he says, we need to remember it's not our ministry. We were given this ministry, not something we created or thought up. When you look at the end of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about God's glory and how we are a reflection of that glory. And this says, therefore, to start this chapter in verse 1, I received this ministry by God's mercy. So we try to go on in our own strength. It's not going to work. It did not work for me. It will not work for you. This is God's ministry. We'll have to have His strength, and He will supply the power. Never, ever do we try to go on our power and our strength. It'll never work, because this is God's ministry, and our ministry, it says in verse 2, is to handle the word of God correctly, so we don't water it down. That word deceitfully means to dilute. It's certainly a temptation when you're tired, when you're beaten down. What's the use of even sharing the gospel? You know, we present the gospel to those that Satan has lied to, it tells us in verse 3 and 4. That makes it even harder. It's not easy work. So we can be so tired that we miss the opportunity, or we don't even pursue the opportunity to share the gospel. We have to be careful. It's not our ministry. He didn't put that treasure in us to present it when we felt like it. We are the people's servants, even the ones that Satan has lied to. I've just got so much out of this text, this reading through, because of where I was. Because His light has shined in our heart, the text says. We know the truth. May have been a time Satan had deceived us. We were once blinded. Our minds were distorted. They were robbed of clear thinking. But now we know better. Now we know. To know Jesus is to know God and to know Him in all of His glory. We now see Him high and lifted up like Isaiah did. Even during a pandemic, we can see God if we look for Him. We can see God renewing our strength. We can see God opening up doors that we can worship again. We can see God moving. We had one to join our church last week in the midst of all of this in another service. But yet He put this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's quite a dilemma for me that He would do that. The treasure, the gospel, the knowledge that God saves sinners is contained in a decaying, perishing, hurting, aching, crying like a baby body sometimes. A body that hurts. A body that cares for people. A body that has to multitask at times, even more so now. A body that's pulled in every direction. How do we go on? That's the excellent of the power may be of God. That's why we go on. It's what He says in the text, and not of us. You know, if we had a superhuman body, we might think we were the Savior. We forget who dwells inside. No, it's not us. There is a treasure been given us, the knowledge that Jesus saves and Jesus makes new, and the knowledge that we are to share that gospel with others keeps us pressing on no matter what's happening to this earthen vessel, Paul said. We trust in God. So how do we go on? I don't know how to say it, but we have to just suck it up. I think it's what God said to me. Too much on the line. We are vessels that contain the gospel. Listen, Jeremiah 12. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have worried thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? If you couldn't run with a little bit of trouble going on, how are you going to stand during a pandemic? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they worried thee when things were going good, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? How wilt thou do in a storm? How wilt thou do when the waters are raging? How will you do during a pandemic? Don't be somebody that's strength is small. Paul goes on, he says, now, just because I contain the treasure doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen to me. If you look in verse 9, he says, persecuted. But I think because of the treasure, because of Jesus living in him and in us, he's not forsaken. That may need to speak to us today. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We may be cast down, but because of the treasure, we're not destroyed. We carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Don't miss that. We want people to know this old dying body has been made new. It may not look like it. You may have to take a closer look. But if you look closely, the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17 will shine through. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have that treasure now within us. Verses 11 and 12 of our text helps us understand this better. God wants you to see. To choose Jesus is to choose life. The power of the resurrection is available to all, is what Paul is saying here. He quotes Psalm 116:10 in verse 13. It says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. If you notice that, in the midst of affliction, the writer of the psalm says, in spite of what I was going through, in spite of what this body is going through, I'm going to trust God. I believed. And when you believe, you're trusting God. You never keep your eyes off of him, even in the midst of persecution, affliction, and pandemics. This body, this old earthen vessel that he put the treasure in, is going through a transformation. And we need to know this. Listen to Paul in verse 14, what he says. Knowing, Paul says, I understand this. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise up us also and shall present us with you. Paul understood he's going through that transformation, that this old body wasn't made to last. And I think it helps us move on, press on, to dry up the tears and not give ground to Satan or the one that's lying to the people. Oh, it's a Satan that can use this time just like Christians can use this time. He can say, where's your God now? You say, he's right here. Right here. Helping me through. Without him, I could not make it. He's a treasure inside of me. And if you had that treasure, you could press on too. And he says here in verse 15, this is for all. The more that grace is extended and accepted, the more glory God receives. It says that word redound. It means to contribute to excel, to exceed. It means we all contribute to the glory of God together. All of us that are going forward, presenting the gospel, all of us that contain this treasure and being faithful, we're all contributing to the glory of God. He is shining brighter and brighter, the text says. That's why we do not lose heart, Paul said, or faint not again. Though the outward man perish, waste away, suffer affliction, we're not going to lose heart. We're not going to faint not, as the Bible says. We're not going to faint. We're going to keep pressing on. The inner man is getting stronger. The outward man may be perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. I love the verses in Lamentations 3. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of standing outside and looking at your loved one in the window in the nursing home, in the midst of not being able to visit people you love and have cared for and ministered to, his mercies are still new every morning, because God is receiving more glory. Then he gives us good news in verse 17. He says this is a light affliction. And I struggled with that. But compared to what Christ went through for you and I, it's a light affliction. This is a light affliction. This is nothing compared to what he went through on the cross and the trial and went to the grave so that we could heaven and eternal life. And not only does he tell us this is a light affliction, it's more, it will not last. It is momentary. It is just for a moment. That should make us shout, those of us that are tired of what we've been going through and knowing there's more to go through. He says it's a light affliction. It is not going to last. It's momentary. There is something more weighty awaiting you. There's something more weighty involved. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is light compared to the glory that we'll receive one day. These are light afflictions that will not last compared to the glory that eternity will bring one day. God says, get your eyes back on me. For all the things you see with your eyes of this old, decayed, earthen vessel are only temporary. They'll not last. You may not can see it now. You may think what you're going through will never end, but there is something eternal on the way. These things we've talked about is what's expected of an earthen vessel. They decay, they waste away, they get old, get discouraged. They do sometimes faint and lose heart. But we have to remind ourselves this morning, this body that is weak, that wants to give up, that wants to back down, contains a treasure. A treasure. We get so focused, I think, on what's happening to the vessel, we forget about the treasure, the gospel. You know, in a crisis, we tend to hoard. Have we seen that? We hoard toilet paper. We hoard paper towels. We hoard hand sanitizers. But all these things are for the decaying temporal body. Have you thought about that? All those things we hoard are just for this body that's dying anyway. Something better coming for this vessel. This vessel that contained a treasure is going to be replaced someday. We better not hoard the gospel. We better put it out there. No matter the pandemic, no matter COVID-19, no matter what our bodies are going through, we need to remember the treasure. If you stepped over into chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, Paul has great news, good news. He says in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He brings them good news. He says this is light affliction. It's not going to last, but there's an earthly house for this old wasting away tabernacle, this earthen vessel that's going to dissolve one day. You have a building of God not made of your hands, not made of man's hands, that is eternal in the heavens that awaits you. So I would tell you to keep pressing on this morning. Remember, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, not on the screen this morning, but I want to leave you one final verse. Found in Isaiah 40. And I pray this will encourage you that there is a better day on the way. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. We may faint, but he does not. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall early fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In the midst of this pandemic, I would encourage all of us not to faint, not to grow weary, not to lose heart. This earthen vessel contains the treasure of the gospel, and we need not hoard it. We need to share it with others. May you be encouraged this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And God, it may not have encouraged anybody else, but encouraged me to know this ministry is not mine. I didn't dream it up. I didn't just wake up one day, I'm going to do this. No, it's your ministry. You called us to it because of your mercy and your grace, and you're going to sustain it. So God, I pray you just help us as we move forward in the days ahead. Reminded of that truth often. When our strength is small, when we just want to cry, God, you'll help us see it's not our ministry, it's yours. Help us through it, God. We know you will. Sustain us, Lord. Let us feel your renewed strength morning by morning. New mercies to receive. God, I pray now you take these words and encourage others. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and God has spoke to your heart, we do extend an invitation. If you come forward, I got a mask I'll put on. I'll sanitize my hands and I can speak with you and help you through any decisions you might want to make. We did have one to join our church, want to be baptized last Sunday. So we know that God is still moving in the midst of a pandemic. If that's you today, we invite you to come.
Let's stand together if you would please, and we're going to sing Without Him.
Like you need to step forward today, we invite you to do that.
Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him?
Why are you coming to join
the
church?
Turn him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I could be dying. Jesus, thank God, I'm safe. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today?
No, you don't mind, they say.
Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus.
Well, thank you. We have coming this morning Robert Hall, married into our church family, and we're excited. He said he didn't mind being on the live stream here, so that is great. Let's give him a hand for his decision. And then, Robert, when this service is over, Kitty will get some information for you, so I'll just ask you to wait over there until that time. Now we have a special treat for you. We have a song, the praise team. I asked them to sing this song so it would encourage you this morning and maybe encourage those that are watching on Facebook Live. So this is just an extra treat for everybody. May you be encouraged by it. Thank you so much for being with us today. That was just an extra treat for all y'all. Hope that encouraged you. Now, Way will dismiss today. If folks can stay back and help us clean, that was a great help. This side, go ahead and remember your social distancing. Exit back this way, and I'll let them clear, and then I'll dismiss this side. Again, thank you so much for being here today. God bless you.